Okay. Amar le Rav Acha b'rei d'Rav Avya l'Rav Ashi. This is towards the bottom on Mem Dalad Amud Beis. Midrabanan nishma l'Rabbi Akiva. Even though Rabbi Akiva and the Rabbanan disagree, if you remember yesterday, we were talking about two different concepts. One is tam kikar. One is meaning that the taste is considered like the thing itself. Even if the thing itself is not visible or tangible, the fact that the taste is there means that you're eating that thing. That's what the Rabbanan used the word mishras of the Nazir to teach us, right? Mishras meaning soaked, that the Nazir can't eat bread which is soaked with wine, even if the wine isn't visible and tangible, because you're eating bread. And Rabbi Akiva learns that the word mishras is teaching us heter mitzdarif l'isser, that even if the isser doesn't have enough quantity to be independently usser, independently chayev, like it doesn't add up to a gazayas or something like that, nonetheless, it can join together with something else, which is mutter, and create that size, as long as they're joined together. And he learns that from Mishras also, and therefore it says here, Midraban nishma l'Rabbi Akiva. Milo amri rabbanan mishras litein tam keker, mikanata dan l'kol yisur shibatorah. The rabbis learn from the word mishras that the taste is like itself. The taste is like a tangible piece, even if it's not tangible physically. So, and they learn from there to the rest of the Torah. So too, l'Rabbi Akiva nami mishras l'heter mitzdarif l'iser mikanat adan l'chol yisurin shabbatorah. You should say the same thing, Rabbi Akiva, that he takes this learning, he takes this drasha that mishras teaches us that heter mitzdarif l'iser, it can join up with something else to create a bigger size. He can learn that also from Nazir to the rest of the Torah. So the Gemara says, Amar le, no. Right? He's basically saying, no, you can't do that. Rabbi Akiva doesn't do that, at least. Mishum dehava nazir v'chata shnei k'suvim haban ka'achad v'ein melamdin. We have the pasuk by Nazir, which teaches us heter mitzdarif l'iser. Now we're going to also see that it comes up in a different place, by a chatas, by a sin offering. Also, we have a halacha that heter mitzdarif l'iser. And once you have a chiddush by two different places, so then you know it must be listed exclusively to those two places, right? If you have only one source, and that source could be sort of teaching the rule, right? You have to have it somewhere. So you have it one instance, you teach the rule one time, and then you can apply it to other things. But if it's taught twice, so then you don't know that it's necessarily supposed to be learned to other things, because otherwise it would have learned one from the other. The fact that it's taught twice means that only those two things have to have that halacha. This is a little bit of it's an important concept. Shnei k'suvim haban ka'achad, we've seen it before. Shnei k'suvim haban ka'achad ve'em lamdin. So we already know the Nazir, right? Nazir hada amran. We know the Mishras pasuk by Nazir. But chatas mahi. What's the source to say that heter mitzdarif l'iser, that the size can combine with something else to make it aser? So chatas mahi. Where is that? Where do we find that by a chatas, by a sin offering? The Tana, the Braitza, says, based on the pasuk in Vayikra Vav, Kol asher yigab ifsara yikdash v'gomer, anything that touches in its flesh shall become kadosh. What does that mean, that it's in its flesh? Yachol afil lo bala. Maybe it means, even if it doesn't touch it, even if it doesn't swallow it, but rather it touches it. Right? Because the pasuk says, yigab ifsara. It doesn't necessarily mean to be touched within it. It could mean to touch it. Right? To be touching the basar. Tamalomar bivisara. It's inside, literally inside. Ashi yibala babasar. Meaning that anything which is inside of the animal, that too is going to be part of the carbon chatas. And therefore it's going to be kadosh. So Gemara says, or the Braisa says, continuing the quote from the Braisa, yikdash, right? The end of the pasuk. The end of that phrase, bivsara yikdash, lios kamoha, shim psula hip tipasel. If the carbon itself becomes pasul because of some other thing, becomes disqualified from a pickle or something, so then the meat inside the animal is also going to be pasul. V'im kesherahi, and if it's good, teachal kachamor shabbat. It will be eaten in accordance to the most chamor halacha. meaning that I guess there are different types of chatzis. You have different restrictions about how you can eat it, where you can eat it. So that piece of meat, which is inside of the animal, I think that's what it's talking about, the piece of meat which is inside of the animal is also going to have that halacha. Okay, so now the Gemara is going to say that this piece of meat joining together with the other one sounds like it's heter mitzdar flizzer. I think that's what we're saying already here. Meaning from the fact that it says Te'achel kachamor sheba means that even if it itself is not big enough, it's still going to be considered like it's combining. This is a little bit of a different type of application. But either way, that's how the Gemara is understanding it now. Let me see, just see Rashi. Kachamor sheba shara yesh ba beiz minin. Echad chamor ve'echad kal, v'kula holeches achar chamor. Even though the two separate pieces of meat, one is from the carbon chatas and one is from just a regular piece of meat, nonetheless, alma heter mitzah, and nonetheless, both pieces of meat are going to follow the chamor, the more chamor aspect of it, of the carbon, and therefore, alma heter mitzah f'lisser. Therefore, you see that the heter is joining up together with the iser, right? To combine the pieces of meat, not necessarily for a size, but potentially to be a size, because the both of them are treated like they're carbon and chatas, even though only one of them is. Which is interesting that the way that they understand it. But either way, v'rabana nami. Now that we understand that there's a situation of nazir and a situation of chatas, which teaches us heter mitzdar v'lisser, therefore Rabbi Akiva says you can't learn it to the rest of the Torah, because it's two examples of the same halacha, which teach us that only those two examples get that rule. So v'rabana nami. So what would the rabbanan say? Nehavi nazir v'chatas neksum banka echad ve'im lamdin. Right, when the Rabbanan say Tam Kikker, presumably they would apply the same rule to that Brisa about the Chatas. And therefore, the Rabbanan should also say that Tam Kikker, that the taste is like the substance of the item itself, should not be something we can learn to the rest of the Torah. It should be exclusive to the Nazir and the Chatas. Right? Presumably creating a parallel that anytime you say one, you say the other. The Rabbanan, even though they don't say Heter Mitzdar Flisser, they would say Tam Kikker in the same way that Rabbi Akiva says Heter Mitzdar Flisser. So Gemara says, no, the Rabbanan would tell you differently. Amri Hanu Mitzrach Tzrichi. These two psukim, about these two examples, I guess, about the Chatas and about the Nazir, are both necessary. And the reason you can't learn one from the other is because they both have chumras. Meaning what? Meaning, they're not really. What would we say before? Why is it that two psukim, two examples, can't teach the rest of the Torah? Because if it was trying to teach the rest of the Torah, they should have just said one of them, and then the other one could be learned out from that one. So here, the Rabbanan are saying, no. In this case, you can't learn one from the other because they couldn't learn from one from the other. I think the Gemara is going to go through it. Yeah, I think the Gemara is going to go through it. Rabbi Akiva Maitzrichi, and Rabbi Akiva says back, how do you know why would you say, I think it's a rhetorical question. Rabbi Akiva, why do you need to teach both of them? So Bishlam Ikas of Rachmana Bechatas Lo Gamar Nazir Mina. If you would have said by the Chatas that Heter Mitzdar V'Isser, so then Lo Gamar Nazir Mina, you wouldn't be able to learn the Nazir from that, because Dechulin Mikachim Lo Gamrina, because we don't learn general rules from Kachim. And therefore, you would have to teach the Nazir case to teach you Heter Mitzdar V'Isser, because we wouldn't have borrowed it or transferred it from Halacha by Achatas. But however, Ela Lichtov Rachman ben Nazir, why don't they teach the Halacha by Nazir V'Teti Chatas V'Tigmor Mina? And they should learn out the Chatas from the Nazir. Tehakol Yisrin Shabbatorah Kagamar Min Nazir. Because you can learn out other halachas from the halacha of Nazir. And therefore, so the Rabbanan would the Rabbanan are basically asking Rabbi Akiva, no. Rabbi Akiva is the Rabbanan are the one that learned to the rest of the Torah. So the fact that it teaches it again means that you can't necessarily learn it to the rest of the Torah. So now they're asking Rabbi Akiva. Why are they asking Rabbi Akiva? I'm a little confused here. Rabbi Akiva is the one that says you don't learn it to the rest of the Torah, and now we're asking Rabbi Akiva. No, it's not really a question. That's what, I don't know why Safari closes as a question here. Really using Safari for the rest of the daf. But either way, Rabbi Akiva says no. You can't learn it. Rabbi Akiva is saying no. It's not that both psukim are necessary because one of them is not necessary. You could have learned the chatas from the nazir, and therefore it's not tzrichi. So now the Gemara is going to say, Rabbanan amilach mitzvah tzrichi. Rabbanan have to now explain why is it mitzvah tzrichi? Why is it that you need both psukim to teach you? You wouldn't be able to learn one from the other. Chatas lahetar mitzayir fleiser v'chulim mikashim lo gamar. You can't learn chulim from kashim. We just said that. Umishras litzein tam keker, and Mishras is coming to teach me tam keker. Umikana tadan kol Torah shebetorah. Chol haTorah kula. Sorry. That the Rabbanan come and say, it's true, if they were both coming to teach me Tom Kicker, then it wouldn't be a problem. But the truth is that one is coming to teach me Tom Kicker, and one of them is coming to teach you how to miss Tarif Lister. And therefore, the Rabbanan say you need to teach both. Rabbi Kiva, Tarvayel Heter Misarif Lister. And Rabbi Kiva says, no, both of them are coming to teach you the same halacha of Heter Misarif Lister. So therefore, Rabbi Kiva says, both of them are coming to teach you how to Misarif Lister. You can't learn to the rest of the Torah. Whereas the Rabbanan would say, no, each of them are coming to teach me different halachas. One's coming to teach me Heter Misarif Lister, which is presumably the Chatas one. And one's coming to teach me Mishras, from the Nazir, is coming to teach me Tam Kikr, that the taste is like the substance. So Amar Le Rav Ashi Le Rav Kaha, and presumably Rabbi Akiva might hold like Rabbi Eliezer, I think we said a couple days ago, that Tam Kikr is learned out from Kol. Of chametz, was it? I don't remember. But either way, it might have been from chametz of kachim. So Amar Rav Ashi Rav Kahana El Hadatanya Mikol Sheyase Migefen Hayayin Mecharzei Nivadzag Liman Ali Suri Nazir Shemitzdarfim Shemitzdarfim Zeim Ze. You should learn out from the Nazir that other Isurim of Nazir combined with each other to make a worthwhile size. So Hashler Rabbi Kiva Isra Hetter Mistarf and Isra Isra Mibaya. So right there's a phrase from Rav Ashi to Rav Kahana that says from this pasuk that you should be able to teach that one substance of a nazir can join together with other substances of a nazir, meaning like wine plus grapes can join together to make kazayas. But the Gemara is saying, wait a second, Rabbi Kiva, if you're going to tell me Hetter Mistarf and Isra is already a concept, so then why is it that the pasuk needs to tell me Isser? Why would I need to know that Isser combines with Isser? If Heter combines with Isser, so then why do I need to know that Isser combines with Isser? So Amar Leir of Kahana said back, Isser v'Heter v'asachas, Isser v'zeachazeh. That while it's true, Heter mistarif l'Isser, that's only if you eat both the things at the same time. But Isser achar Isser, if you eat one prohibited thing and then one non-prohibited thing, not at the same time, but one after the other. So then you have to have that chiddush that Isser can still combine with the Isser, even if they're not at the same time. Okay. Not 100% sure why we don't also teach that, why we don't ask that question, or why Rav Ashi didn't ask that question on the Rabbanan also. We just learned that Rabbanan also hold that Heter Mistarif l'Isser. Yeah, I don't know. He says here the Rabbi Akiva Isser v'Heter Mistarfin. So I'm not really sure why it's only on Rabbi Akiva. Either way, let's keep going. A new Mishnah. So here, I don't know if anyone has a picture of this. I can't really figure out what this thing looks like. But we have a specific kind of bowl. The Mishnah says, Batzek shebesidke areva. You have some dough. It's in the cracks of a kneading bowl. I don't know what that means. Some kind of bowl that has little grooves in it that you can...
A wooden bowl. I mean, I'm picturing here a wooden bowl. Okay. Wooden bowl bowls tend to
to
crack over. Wooden mixing bowls tend to crack over time.
Okay, maybe that's what I was talking about. That just naturally, because of the material, it has cracks in it, and you can get things stuck in those cracks. I was like assuming it had some kind of like funnel or some kind of like groove in it, because as we'll see, we're talking about the stuff that gets stuck. So, that's what I don't get. How could you have a kezias inside of one of those cracks? That sounds like it's impossible. But I guess you could have a long crack or a big bowl or something. I don't know. So if you have a kezias worth in one place, let's say you've got a huge crack in the bowl, and there's chametz stuck in there. If there is a kezias worth, so then chayv levayer, then you have to get rid of it. That's bona fide chametz. V'im lo, and if there's not an amount of a kezias inside of that one place, so then about the miyuto. What?
Sounds like it.
I can hear you. No. Hello. Can you hear me? Ay, gewalt. Can you hear me? Darn. Hello? Can you hear me? This is very strange. Can you hear me? Oh gosh, I don't know what's going on. I had this class last night for an hour and 5 minutes. I had no problem. This computer is allergic to Daf Yomi.
Froze it again.
I think Aaron, you're going to be.
This is it.
What are you about to teaching, Aaron?
Sorry, everybody. I don't know what it is. Just doesn't like the mornings. This is a different computer. I'll have to warn the person who uses it. Afterwards, they have to log out. So, apologize. I don't know what's going on with that computer. It works at night. It doesn't work in the morning. So, I'll have to figure out what to do. Hold on, I have to. All right, I removed myself. Hi, Hashem Yishmor. Okay, Mishnah. Sorry, I'll try to start with this computer tomorrow. I'll have to remember to use it. Okay, the Mishnah says, the dough that's inside of these cracks, inside of the kneading bowl. If there's enough of a kezias inside of that crack, so then you don't have to, then you do have to get rid of it. It's like bona fide chametz. And if not, so then it's batel. You don't have to get rid of it. Similarly, according when it comes to tuma, if a person wants that piece of dough and doesn't want it. and doesn't want to keep it there forever, so then it's not considered to be batal there, and rather it's going to be chotzitz, right? In terms of tumma, in terms of putting it in a mikveh or something like that, this is actually very halachic, halach l'maisa. I didn't do a halach yesterday. It's very halach l'maisa that if you put the, if you want the dough there and you want to keep it there, right? I don't know if it's smoothening out the cracks or something like that. So then it's not going to be chutz v'imrotzu b'kiyumo. If you want to keep it there, so then harehu kareva, it's like the bowl itself. If you want to take the, if you want the thing that, if you want to take the thing out, if you want to take the dough out, so then it's going to be a chitzitza because you don't really want it there. Okay, so Gemara Amar Reb Yehuda Amar Shmuel Lo Shenu El Makom She'en Asuyin L'Chazik. The only time that this halacha applies of the Mishnah is where you're not talking about a time or a place in the bowl where it's there to reinforce it. I don't exactly know what that means. But maybe it's there to sort of fill in the gap, or it's there to connect the different parts of the bowl. I don't know how exactly that works, but
apparently, with Rabbi Steinzel, it says you put it there on purpose. It goes all the way through the crack
for the sake of just making it smooth
and stronger. I mean, I could think of better materials.
Right, that's what I'm saying. Like, I don't know what exactly you're using or what your intention is.
They didn't have epoxy.
Right, you're using the bread as an epoxy or something, yeah. So, el b'makom she'en asuyin l'chazik. But if you have el b'makom she'en l'chazik, eino chayav levar. In the time where your intention is to keep it there so that it's helping the bowl, so then you don't have to get rid of it. Okay, that sounds very similar to the makbid case, but either way. So, mechlav de pachos mekazayas, afil b'makom she'en asuyin l'chazik, eino chayav levar. The implication from that statement is that even if it's being used in a place which is not to reinforce it, it's going to be chayv to get rid of it, even if it's less, right? Because he doesn't make any clarification. He says, if it's used for reinforcement, so then you have to get rid of it. But if it's not used for reinforcement, if it's used for reinforcement, you don't have to get rid of it. But if it's not used for reinforcement, you have to get rid of it, even though no matter what kind of size it is. So ikedem asil al-sneiv, there are those who say that this is actually in part of the Mishnah itself. Vim lav batu b'miyuto, Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Shmuel, in response to, if it's not a kezias, so then batul b'miyuto, so then the Rav Yehuda, Amar Shmuel says, Lo shenu ela makom asuyin l'chazik, va makom she'asuyin l'chazik, she'en asuyin l'chazik, chayav levar. Miklal de kezias, afilu makom asuyin l'chazik, chayav levar. Right? The only time that we say that it's batul b'miyuto, that it's going to be nullified as a non-kezias, is when it's used, when it's not used, when it is used for reinforcement. If the small amounts, right, the small amount, which would be batul b'miyuto, is used in a time where it's, in a place where it's not coming to reinforce it, even if it's small, so then you're chayev to get rid of it. But the implication is that if it's a kezias, even if it's coming to reinforce, then you'd have to get rid of it. So, Tanya Kalishna Kama, Tanya Kalishna Bastra. There are those brises that teach it like the first way, and there are brises that teach it like the second way. It's just summary time. Right? Tanya Kalishna Kama, Batsak Shibasit Kariyav, Makam Asul, Chazak, and Chot Svenuva, over. If there's dough inside of the crack of the bowl, and then it's in a place where it's reinforcing it, so then it's not going to be a chatitza, and you're not going to be over, meaning you don't have to get rid of it. Because you wanted to keep it there to reinforce the bowl. And when it's in a place which is not reinforcing it, so then it's going to be a chatitza because you don't want it there. And you're going to be over the iser because you're supposed to get rid of it. So when is all that talking about? Because that's only if the amount inside the crack is a kezias. But if it's a small amount, I feel even if it's a place where it's not reinforcing the bowl, so eino chotzitz v'eino over. It's not going to be a chatzitza, and it's not going to be an issue for chametz because it's less than a kezias. Very important to understand when you're cleaning your house. You don't have to really technically clean out things that are less than a kezias. V'tanya kalishna b'astra. You got a mitzvah for doing so, but it's not obligated. V'tanya kalishna b'astra. And there's another brisa that sounds like the end of the Mishnah, or it sounds like the second version of what we said before. Batzik shebesit kariv v'makom ha'asul l'chazik. The dough that it's in the crack of the bowl in a place where it's supposed to be reinforcing it. So eina chotitz v'eina over. V'makom she'ein asul l'chazik chotitz v'over. And when it's in a place where it is not used as reinforcement, meaning you don't want it there, so then it is chotitz v'over because you want to get rid of it, and therefore it's going to be chatzitza. It's also going to be something that you're supposed to get rid of, meaning you're going to be aser for chametz. B'amad v'amrim urim, when is that talking about? B'pachos mikazayas, when it's even less than a kazayas, b'kazayas, but if it was a kazayas worth, even if it was a place which you are reinforcing it with it, the bowl, you're making it stronger by keeping it there. Even if it's less than, even if it's supposed to stay there, you want it there. If it's more than kazayis, you still have to get rid of it. So kasha na adadai, these two prices seem to go against each other. So amrav huna, sami kilsu mekam mechamirta, get rid of the more lenient one and take the more machmir one. Says Rav Yosef, Tanai shekata me'alma, you're just getting rid of Tanayim. You can't just get rid of opinions. Those are legitimate opinions. Tanaihi, it's machlokas Tanayim. The Tanya, the Braisa says, Hapas she'ibsha chayev la'aver, levayer. If the bread is moldy, so you have to get rid of it. Vibnesha ra'oi l'shokka l'chamea ba'kame isos acheros. Because you can use it to leaven other things, right? Moldy bread or used old bread can be used, like sourdough, you can use it to work as a leavening agent, and therefore it's still a problem. Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar Omer, and I don't understand how exactly that I guess that means even if it's non-edible, that's what it's saying here in the Sefari, even if it's non-edible, you're still chayav to get rid of it. So too with the case of the dough inside of the crack, when it's not edible, you're not planning to use it, you still have to get rid of it. So the Gemara says, Rav Shimon ben Elazar Omer, b'men devar memurim, b'mekuyemes la'achila. The only time that you that this whole thing applies is when it is designated for eating. Aval kofes se'or she'yichta l'shiva. But if you have designated this thing for sitting on it, I don't know exactly how much bread you have and how moldy it is, but if you're designating it to be sat on, so then batla. So then you don't have to get rid of it. It sounds like the first opinion says that it's not batzel. That first opinion of the Tana Kama, which Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar seems to be disagreeing with, says that even if you have the intention to use it for something completely different, you never want to use it for eating it again. Even though that's the case, you still have to get rid of it. It's not batzel. So that's Machlokas Tanaim. Machlokas Tanaim about whether inedible food is still chayev to get rid of it for Pesach. So very obviously halacha lemaisa in terms of that. Does it have a clear psak on the Gemara here? Doesn't seem like it. Not really sure how we paskin in that. But as you know, generally we paskin about whether it's edible for dogs and cosmetics and things like that always come into question. Medicines, cosmetics, different things. So Amar Le Abaye, Taratzta B'Kazayis. You've now resolved it in terms of the Kazayis. But Pakuz Mi'Kazayis Mi'Taratzta, right? That Braisa, that Machlokas Tanaim is all about a Kazayis. But what if there's less than a Kazayis? Elaha V'ha Rabbi Shimon Elazar, they're both Rabbi Shimon. V'lokasha Ha V'makom Lisha, Hash Lo V'makom Lisha. It's not hard. One is one where it's talking about, the Kazayis, one where it's talking about less than a kazayas, the concern is that you're going to need more dough in that spot, and you're going to lead it to combine with other pieces of dough, which is going to be a problem. But the other time where it's maybe on the outside of the bowl, or it's on the top, or it's towards the top, it's going to be in a place where you're not intending to put more dough there, and therefore we don't have a concern that you're going to combine it to make a kazayas with something else. So Amar Rav Ashi, lo tema shelo b'makom lisha, agaba da'agana, ela ashifta da'agana. Right? When it's not in the place of lisha, so then that's obvious. Right? If it's on the outside of the bowl, so then obviously we're not concerned that it's going to be joined together with another piece of dough. Ella asifta da'agana. Sorry, then it's on the edge, right? It's on towards the top. So pshita, of course, that would be a problem even if it's less than kazayas, because it's combined with other things. So mahadetema zimnita atif matif lahasam. Sometimes it drips there, and it should be considered. It should be considered like a place where you do lisha kamash malan. That's a place where you don't do lisha. right on the edge is not a type of place where you usually do it, even though sometimes it could drip onto that. So Amrav Nachman, Amrav Halachik, Rabbi Shimon Elazar, we're passing like that distinction. So Ini is that true? Amrav Yitzchak Bar Ashi, Amrav Im Tach Paneha Betit Batla. If you would cover the surface of the something with mortar, exactly know what we're talking about. Rashi says, "Shel kofes seor letakna leyeshiva." You're using this thing that you're using to sit on as a chair, this moldy bread or something. So if you put something on top of it, like mortar, so then it's batel. So tach in letach lo, that implies that the only time it's a problem, the only time that it's okay, is if you covered it with something. So man de masni ha, masni ha, no, those are two different understandings. The Rebbe Shmuel is really the first understanding, says that even if you don't cover it with mortar, it's still going to be okay, that it's not chayv. So you could argue, or you say, Amar Rav Nachman, Amar Rav, in halacha Rebbe Shmuel, we don't pass on Rebbe Shmuel Lazar, the Amar Rav Yitzchak Bar Ashi, Amar Rav, im tachman habetit, batla v'chule. The only time that we say you can use this moldy bread as a chair, as a stool, or whatever you're using it for, is when you cover it with mortar. But if you didn't cover it with mortar, so then you do not have that license to use it, and really have to get rid of it for Pesach. So Amar Rav Nachman, Amar Shmuel, Shnei Chatzai Zeisim Mechut Shabatzik Banayim. Let's say you have two half kazayases, and there's a string of dough that connects them. You know, like stringy bread, right? And there's a little bit connecting them. So the question is, are those considered one big kazayas, or are those considered two separate pieces? So Rowan, the Gemara says, you have to look at it. If you're going to take away if you're going to pull the string out, the stringy dough that connects them, if you pull it out, and when you do so, the other pieces that are connected to that dough on either side are going to come with it. So then, chayv levar, I mean, those two things are connected. V'im lav, eno over, if when you pull out the string, it's going to completely come off, and therefore it's not really part of those two pieces. So then, those two pieces are considered distinct, and you don't have to look at it as if they're combined, that you don't have to get rid of them. So amar ula, lo amar ela bareva, that's only in a kneading bowl of abba bayis chayv levar, but if they're all in, if they're all in the same house, so then you do have to get rid of what? Well, the Gemara is going to have to say, my time, why? Dezimnin dekanish lehuv nafli gabe hadade. That sometimes they'll fall to each other. They're both in the kitchen, and the dough is going to come to the other part of the dough. But if they're inside of a bowl and they're contained and they're not going to go anywhere, so then they'd be considered distinct. So Amar Ula Valmar Rava Baisva Ali Mahu Baisva Sajra Mahu Shne Batam Zelif Nimizavi Mahu. What if they're in different places inside the house? So then what's the halacha take? We don't know. Right? That's only if they're both basing on the kitchen counter. So Tanar Barna Pasha Ibshav Nipsalam Lachal Adam. If the bread became moldy and it became inedible for a person, this sounds familiar to the halacha lemaisa that we know, and the dog is able to eat it. Metama tumas ochlam bekabetza, it still gives over tuma v'nisrafes imatame b'pesach, and it's something that you would burn for the sake of Pesach. Mishum Rabbi Nasan amru enu metama. Rabbi Nasan says no, it does not give over tuma just because it's edible by a dog. It has to be edible by a person also. Kaman also hadith 9. Klal amru betaros kol miochel ochel adam tamei ad sheyifsol milachol kalev. Everything is considered to be tameh until it's disqualified from being edible by an animal, by a dog. So come on, delog Rabbi Nassim. It's not like Rabbi Nassim, because even Rabbi Nassim says that while it's edible by a dog, it's also already not going to be tameh. Tan Rabbanan, arevas ha'abdanin l'shanat l'tzoch kamach tov shlosh yom chayv levar. If the water of the tanners, I think it's the tanners, yeah, the water of the tanners has to be gotten rid of, because they use flour in that water mixture to help with the hides, apparently. So as long as it's within 3 days that you used it before Pesach, so you have to get rid of it. If, however, you used it only more than 3 days before Pesach, you do not have to get rid of it, because by that point the flour is no good. So Amar Rabbi Nasan, that's only if you didn't put a hide in it. If you put inside of it some kind of hide, even within those 3 days, you do not have to get rid of it, because the hide makes it inedible. So Amar Rabbi Halach Rabbi Nasan, we pass in like Rabbi. We pass on Rabbi Nassan that even if it's one day, or if it's one moment before Pesach, but you put a hide into it, I assume this means not lechachila, because lechachila you wouldn't be able to do that, because that would be to get rid of it lechachila. I don't know if you could do, Maybe you could. I think we do pass like that in some situations that you're allowed to do that. You like pour bleach on something if you can't get rid of it. So to here, the situations we put the hide inside the water, so then even if it's right before Pesach, it's no longer going to be chayv. Okay, we'll pick up with V'chein L'inun Tumah Mirtzei Hashem tomorrow. Okay, exciting. We'll see if the computer works tomorrow. No, I'll try this computer tomorrow. Okay, have a good day. Shkayach. What's up, Toby?
Something for breakfast.
Well, hurry up. I have to go to shul very quickly, so hurry up and go get ready.